Thanks so much, Greg and team. Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you. Welcome today to the First Colony Church of Christ, and to our guests, a very special welcome to you. I'd like to bring to a close today a teaching series from the New Testament book of James. And we're going to take a look at his last exhortation, his last admonition to believers. For the next 3 weeks, Eric Fridge will be speaking, and Eric always does a great job in whatever he does here in our church family, and he's going to be speaking over the next 3 weeks under the theme, Growing in Grace. And then what I plan to do, I plan to come back then, Lord willing, after that, and you say, well, Ronnie, I've been reading through the book of James, and didn't you skip a section? And the answer is yes. I plan to come back to that section from James chapter 5 on prayer and do an extended prayer series that I'm calling The Cynic's Guide to Prayer, because the Bible acknowledges that it is very possible for believers to become cynical and give up and become weary in the habit of prayer. Does prayer really make a difference? Does God still heal today? How does all that work? And so, over the next 3 weeks, Eric, growing in grace, and then I plan to come back, Lord willing, after that, and begin a 4, 5, 6 week series called The Cynic's Guide to Prayer. But today, I'm going to skip that little prayer section and go to the very last exhortation from the book of James. Let me start by mentioning probably one of the better known statements throughout the Bible is that well known escapist statement from Cain in the Old Testament after he had been involved in the murder of his brother Abel. And the Lord comes to him and he says, now, where is your brother? And Cain says, am I my brother's keeper? And most of the time when you hear people say that, we're saying it, you know, in jest. You know, where's so-and-so? Or, you know, where's your sister? You know, where's your brother? Am I my sister's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? But that mindset really does sort of permeate our culture today, where it's, listen, every man for himself, every lady for herself, and am I to be my brother? Am I? Let me just ask, are we our brother's keeper? Do you have any obligation, responsibility to your brothers and sisters in Christ? Now, James does not say we need to be our brother's critic and be holy meddlers. But are we to be our brother's keeper? Here's what James has to say, James 5, verses 19 and 20. Here's the very last thing he has to say. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. One of the things that the book of James, it's so clear, he wants all of us as believers to be spiritual champions. He intends for us to be people of high character, active faith, good deeds. God has given the Holy Spirit to help us, and he intends for us to have the strength, the wisdom, the love, the humility, the values of a spiritual champion. And here he shows us the last mark of a spiritual champion, and that is a spiritual champion is someone who really is his brother's, his sister's keeper. A spiritual champion not only guards his life, but he also cares for his brothers and sisters, not as some policeman issuing spiritual tickets, not, as I said, your brother's critic or a holy meddler. But this is needed. Why? We all face an enemy, and an enemy is very real. The Bible says that the devil is like a roaring lion, and he's seeking whom he may devour. And you can think right now of some Christian brother or sister, and Satan has his claws in them. How? Why? Sometimes he simply reminds you of all the parties and all the pleasures and all the purchases. And he says, oh, just think back to the good old days when your money was just all your money and your time was just all your time. And you didn't have to be weighed down. It was just you, your money, your time. You didn't have to think about anybody, care about anybody else. Those are the good old days. Or he works on your sense of despair and discouragement. That happens. Sometimes believers forget who they are serving, forget why they are serving, or they get mad and bitter at something in the world. And the Bible says that that is one of the primary ways that Satan gets a foothold. Now he's got something to hold on to in your life. And he works through that anger and bitterness, and he gains a foothold. And so James says, here's the very first statement I'd like to sort of put up on the screen. That is that God uses all of us to keep all of us spiritually safe. You know, last night I was at a wedding here for Kenneth Spakes. It was a wonderful wedding. And one cool thing that was done at the very end of the wedding, they had asked me, they said, now, Ronnie, when bride and groom, when they walk, you know, back up the aisle, ask everybody, it was an outdoor wedding, they said, ask everybody to don the sunglasses that were provided, and we're going to take a group picture. And so, you know, the bride and groom, they go up the aisle, and I say, all right, everybody, put on your sunglasses. Everybody puts them on. And the photographer comes right up, stands up on the stage, and takes a group photo of everybody. If we were to do that today, let's take a group photo of everybody. How many of us would still be with the Lord in a year? How many of us would still be enthusiastic disciples of Jesus 5 years from now? 10 years from now? Gang, listen, the flow of the current is away from God. And if you are not intentional about your pursuit of God, God will help you, but the flow is towards nominal discipleship. The flow is towards giving up on Jesus. And if you're not intentional about going upstream, you will get picked off. And one mark of a spiritual champion is, I'm not just looking out for me. We really are our brother's keeper. And let's put it back up on the screen. And the Lord uses all of us to keep all of us spiritually safe. Notice he says, my brothers, if one of you. So he's talking now to the Christian community. He's not talking about outsiders. He's talking about the Christian community. If one of you should wander, anger, bitterness, despair, discouragement, pleasures of the, whatever, you wander away. And notice, someone should bring him back. This is a ministry for all of us, and it's an exciting ministry. It is exciting to lead somebody to Jesus, and it is exciting to lead somebody back to Jesus. And whenever you know someone who's in your sphere of influence, your arena of influence, that's in essence God's assignment to you. God has put that person in your way. Now this morning we appointed 2 new elders. Great guys. Gordon and Doug, fine guys. And elders have a responsibility to the members and to the sheep. But listen carefully. Although James, in his letter, will say that elders have specific responsibilities, here, when he's talking about restoring the wanderer, he does not say this is an elder-only assignment. Someone. Elders are often the last resort, shouldn't necessarily be the first resort, and often are not the best resort. The best person is someone who has that regular relationship with that person, and it's not and the word of encouragement is not coming from, quote unquote, somebody official. It starts with somebody who just says, look, I really like you and I care about you. And I could be off base here, but it just seems like there's a drift. Can I help with something? Or however you would say it. But when wondering, he does not say, hey, just, you know, send Ronnie an email. First response is you. You be that someone. Do you remember the second most famous Jesus story? The most famous Jesus story is the story of the prodigal son who comes back. The most famous, or the second most famous Jesus story could be subtitled, you ready? Somebody ought to do something. And it's that story of the guy who gets waylaid on the road, and all sorts of people walk by and they say, you know, somebody ought to do something. How many of you read the Good Samaritan story to this day and your first thought is, yep, somebody ought to do something? You be that somebody. You be that someone. And when you know someone in your circle and you can just perceive something's not quite right, you ask, how can I help? Well, what are some various approaches as we try to restore someone who's wandering away? Well, there are various approaches, and these approaches would vary depending upon the person's personality, upon the length of the time the wandering has been going on. But here's the most important factor. You ready? Here's the key. The key is walking by faith. Going to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want to be your instrument to help this person restore themselves to you. Lead me. What should I do? How should I approach this? What should I say? Lead me, and Lord, I'm going to walk. In other words, I'm going to take some action steps, but I will ask you to bless my feeble efforts and God for you to show up and for you to do the heavy lifting. So that's the key, just bringing the situation to the Lord, taking action, but surrendering it to God. Now, what are the various approaches? I'm going to give you three approaches, and this is a very practical discussion, three approaches, and there are nuances to all three. Here's the first one. I would simply call it the affirmation approach, just the fellowship approach. This is almost the indirect approach, right? Just somebody in my circle say, hey, let's go hit some golf balls. Why? Just go hit some golf balls. Let's ride our bikes. Let's get together and have a burger. And there's indirect, just hanging out, fellowship approach. I don't really bring anything up. Just light energy, light action. Just letting that person know, I know who you are, I care about you, and just want to touch base. Just the affirmation fellowship approach. Here's the second approach, has a little more of an edge to it. It's the information approach. Hey, kind of lost base. You know, we've not chatted in a while. Hey, let's get together. Meet you at the coffee shop, 6 a.m. Let's grab a cup of coffee and we'll just kind of check up. Or let's grab a cup of coffee in the afternoon. Or you want to come over and sit on the patio and we'll just chat for a bit. Or, you know, I could be off base here, but it just seems like there may be something going on and I may be completely off base. I just want to touch base. Just make sure you're doing okay spiritually. Informational approach. I care and I've observed that something may be going on and I'd like to help if at all possible. Okay? Here's the third approach. I call it the atomic bomb approach. Sometimes the Holy Spirit calls you to play hardball. I did not say mean ball. I said, hardball. And the biblical example of this is when Nathan spoke to David. And he told David a little story about a man who had become so completely self-absorbed and self-centered, he had become a villain. And then he said, David, you are that man. You are that villain. You are out in left field. You are way off base. You are on another planet. And David, you need to make some course corrections, and you need to do so immediately. You'll also see this approach when the Lord spoke to Cain, when Cain was so enraged and angry and jealous about his brother Abel, and he said these words to him. Let's put them up on the screen, please, from the book of Genesis. Do we have the passage from Genesis 4:6? There we go. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. I can remember a younger time in my Christian life, a friend of mine saying to me, I don't know where you've been, but we both know where you need to be. And I'm not sure I even know who you are anymore. And that was as a teenager. He played hardball with me. He needed to play hardball with me because I had one great excuse after another. Eugene Peterson, who is the author of, you know, The Message, as a lot of you read the Message translation, he says every Christian needs to be aware that as you deal with other believers, you're going to hear one excuse after another. But never forget that the primary message of Jesus was this: repent and follow. Surrender and follow. What does following Jesus look like for you right now? What does taking the high road look like in your life right now? And how can I help? Well, the point is not the approach. Listen carefully. The point is not the approach. The point is that you take the action to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, here is a person that I care about. Here is a brother or sister. I care about this person, and I want to take some action. Would you show me, give me a sense of the wisest course of action to take? But I'm going to do something, and I'll ask you to take my meager effort. You do the heavy lifting, and you bless it. Friends, it is a thrill to reclaim a brother or sister, and James gives us the motivation. I want you to notice what he says, and whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death. In other words, it is possible to so wander away from Christ that you end back up in a place of spiritual death. And he says, but somebody who's even gone that far, you can bring them back and cover over a multitude of sins. Question, how many is a multitude? Answer, when I was a younger person, I saw the word multitude in the Bible, God covering over a multitude of sins, and I thought, well, how many is a multitude? Got out my concordance, started looking around. You'll find a phrase in the book of Revelation that says, and there's a multitude in heaven that no one can count. And if you've got a catalog of sins that no one can count, James says, our God is so gracious, He will even cover over that catalog. Friends, never forget this truth. In the Bible, whenever you find a humble person, you will never find Jesus criticizing that person. You will always find Jesus sympathizing with that person. What does Jesus do for the humble, penitent person? Even with a multitude of sins, He sympathizes. He never criticizes. And he says, it's a wonderful ministry to take a person's hand and connect them to God. And it is a wonderful ministry to take somebody who's wandered away and for you to be that instrument and reconnect them to the Lord and give them hope again. I got a couple of questions as I close this morning. You ready? Here they are. First of all, who do you know right now who's wandering? A picture may come to your mind. My challenge to you today is be a doer of this word and not just a hearer. Take some action. Let me be painfully honest. Not every conversation is fruitful. Sometimes they are exercises in frustration. But you will go to bed knowing you did the right thing. Spiritual champions try. For the sake of one another and for the sake of Christ, they try. Now, I've got a second question for you today. Are you that wanderer? Is that you? Physically here, but that's it. But spiritually far from God. If you can hear my words today and your heart be touched at all, you need to praise God that your heart still has the ability to be touched. Some people wander from Jesus and just harden themselves to Jesus. They harden themselves and harden themselves. And finally, they get to a point, the Bible says, where their conscience is just seared. Just seared. If you can hear these words today and your heart touched, you praise God for that. And may I just remind you that the Lord today, He's speaking to you, ready to touch you. And if you've been that wanderer, hear His voice to you today and follow. Throw yourself on His mercy and take steps back in His direction. He covers even a multitude of sins. So, what's his last word? What's James' last word to us? Guard your own life, but guard the lives of those around you as well. Are you your brother's keeper? Yes. Yes, you are. And God can use you in powerful ways as you express compassion and truth in the lives of one another. This is a ministry for us all. Okay. All right. Why don't you take out, please, your order of worship, and there you'll see a communication card. And on that communication card is it's a place there for you to check if you'd like to speak with someone about baptism, if you'd like to speak with someone about membership in our church family. You can share a prayer request. And it may be that one of your prayer requests today is, I've been a wanderer. Pray for me as I take steps back towards enthusiastic discipleship, towards following Jesus again with energy. We'd love to pray with you, love to encourage you in that regard. Okay? All right, let's take a moment and pray. I'm going to pray over us. Our worship team, why don't you go ahead and be coming back to the stage, taking your places up here. I'd like to pray over you for a moment and take your time filling out that communication card. But once you finish, please just pass it to the ends of the aisles, and our ushers will collect those here in just a moment. Okay, let's bow and pray, please. Father God, all of us here are prone to wander. You know, I think about that old song, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. May those who are healthy enough always be motivated to take action. Lord, I thank you for your grace that indeed covers a multitude of sins, and I pray that you will soften our hearts to you and to one another. But Lord God, may we be the kind of spiritual community where indeed in a healthy way we watch over one another. We warn each other. We encourage one another. We admonish one another, and we affirm and we bless each other. Let our conversations not just be about golf and football. Lord, give us the kind of relationships where we connect heart to heart and spirit to spirit and have some time where we talk about what scares us, what makes us tender, what makes us happy, what's making us sad right now, what's intimidating, where do I need help? Let us have the kind of relationships that connect heart to heart. And Lord, you know, somebody's got to take that step. Somebody's got to walk in faith. Let it be me. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.